Only 7 days, that's how long activists say that DC has to save its energy future. Coming up next. And welcome to Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the on-the-ground edition for February 5th, 2015. I'm Esther Averam.
And I'm Lucy Murphy. And we're here on the first day of the Winter Fun Drive. We want to congratulate Dave Zirin and Etan Thomas for their efforts on the show, The Collision, and thank you for staying with us and supporting On the Ground, our little big show all about activists and activism.
You can get us started doing our part for the station by calling 202-588-0893. We have a goal, 588-9739. That's 202-588-9739 today for the fundraiser. We have a goal of $500, only $500 for this hour, and we know that's a piece of cake. Just two members of the WPFW family becoming a new or renewing member for only $20 a month. Just $20 a month, your smallest monthly bill for all the progressive news and information you can get here on the ground. And all over 89.3 WPFW Washington, your Pacifica member-supported station in the nation's capital. For your donation of just $75 this hour, just more than $6 a month, we have the movie Gasland 2 by Academy Award-nominated director Josh Fox. And if you pledge at least $10 a month, or $10 a month, or $120, we'll also throw in the powerful film Disruption about climate change. Just today, as we explore these issues of environment and energy. Well, on this first day of our winter fund drive, we'll also be talking about a far larger monthly bill, our electric bill. You may not know about it, but there's a planned multi-billion-dollar takeover, they say merger, of Pepco, the district's electric power utility, with Exelon, or by Exelon, a Chicago-based nuclear energy giant. And you also might not know that the conventional wisdom in conventional political circles is that this planned merger is all but a done deal. But a diverse coalition of citizen groups, environmentalists, and other social justice organizations are saying, not so fast. This coalition called Power DC is urging DC residents and other concerned citizens of the DMV to write the DC Public Service Commission by next Friday, February 13th, which is the commission's deadline for public comment on the merger. If this merger goes through, DC's electric bills will be higher and service will be even less reliable than under Pepco, if you can imagine that. And of course, partnering with a nuclear giant runs against the grain of the district's green energy emphasis. This is what Power DC is talking about, and we'll be talking about Exelon with members of Power DC and with experts on Exelon. But first, our activism headlines.
During a Senate Armed Services Committee hearing last week, Code Pink protesters attempted to perform a citizen's arrest of former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, holding handcuffs and large signs that read, "Kissinger, war criminal," and "Arrest Kissinger for war crimes." Activists read aloud a citizen's arrest.
"Arrest Henry Kissinger for war crimes! In the name of the people of Cambodia, in the name of the people of Laos."
Yet as we look around the world, we encounter upheaval and conflict and chaos.
"Code Pink calls for the arrest of Henry Kissinger for war crimes. Vietnam, from 1969 to 1973, Kissinger, working for Richard Nixon, oversaw the slaughter in Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos, which led to the deaths of millions of people. Many thousands more died from the effects of massive doses of Agent Orange and from unexploded bombs that covered the countryside.
Chile. Henry Kissinger was one of the principal architects of the coup in Chile on September 11th, 1973. A coup that overthrew the democratically elected government of Salvador Allende.
Thank you.
16 years of oppression, torture.
In response, Senator John McCain, Republican of Arizona and chairman of the committee, called the human rights activists low-life scum and said it was the most disgraceful and despicable demonstration he had ever seen. But Code Pink co-founder Medea Benjamin said that the organization is proud of its action, speaking out on behalf of the people of Indochina, China, East Timor, and a peace-loving people everywhere. Henry Kissinger is responsible for the deaths of millions. He's a murderer, a liar, a crook, and a thug, and should be tried at The Hague, Benjamin said. A copy of the organization's arrest warrant for Henry Kissinger is on the organization's website, codepink.org. One of the next actions by Code Pink begins February 28th and culminates on March 3rd when, in breach of diplomatic protocol, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been invited by House Speaker John Boehner to address a joint session of Congress. Code Pink, along with a coalition of other organizations, will urge elected officials to skip Netanyahu's speech and are planning other protests, panels, and other actions to also coincide at the time with the annual policy conference of the Israeli lobby AIPAC, American Israel Public Affairs Committee. The Israeli government recently announced a new round of settlement construction in the occupied West Bank, approving 450 homes in several Palestinian areas. CIA whistleblower John Kiriakou has been released from prison. Kiriakou exposed the Bush-era torture program and became the only official jailed in connection with it. In January 2013, he was sentenced to 2.5 years after pleading guilty to confirming the identity of a covert officer to a reporter who did not publish it. In international activist news, Syriza's victory in Greece has renewed anti-austerity sentiment across Europe. Over the weekend, up to 100,000 people gathered in the Spanish capital, Madrid, for a rally led by leftist party Podemos, or We Can. Podemos has surged in Spanish opinion polls with a vow to undo austerity. In Africa, the Associated Press is reporting that hundreds of teachers in northern Kenya, bordering Somalia, have refused to return to work, fearing attacks by Islamic extremists. The estimated 700 teachers demonstrated outside Parliament in Nairobi are non-Somali and fear for their lives following murders that singled out non-Somalis by the Somali militant group Al-Shabaab. Pope Francis has declared Salvadoran Archbishop Oscar Romero a martyr to the Catholic faith, a step that paves the way for Romero's beatification and possible sainthood. Known as the Voice of the Voiceless, Archbishop Romero was a prominent advocate for the poor and a leading critic of the U.S.-backed Salvadoran military government. He was killed nearly 35 years ago on March 24, 1980, by members of the U.S.-backed death squad. And energy policy in the Caribbean was the subject of a day-long conference titled Energy Security in the Caribbean, held by the Center-Right American Security Project here in Washington, D.C. While most of the panelists in attendance seemed to be in gleeful agreement that the global drop in oil prices would lead to the collapse of Venezuela and severe hardship for Cuba, some attendees stood to question the assumptions of the gathering. In environmental news, the Environmental Protection Agency has warned the Keystone XL pipeline would fuel climate change by increasing oil production in the Canadian tar sands. An earlier State Department analysis found the pipeline would not have an impact because the oil would be transported through other means. But the EPA concludes that the recent drop in oil prices means much of the oil would otherwise remain in the ground. It estimates the pipeline could increase greenhouse gas emissions by about as much as 8 new coal-fired power plants. Obama has said climate change will play a key role in his final decision on whether to approve approve the pipeline. After Native Americans protested against the pipeline last month outside the White House, tribal rights attorney Tara Huska told Tom Hartman that the pipeline is a death sentence for sacred lands, as well as to water and food for a large portion of the country.
So the Keystone XL pipeline is set to go through the Ogallala Aquifer, and on the way through that aquifer, it passes through some ancestral tribal lands as well as existing boundaries of reservations and several water projects along there that supply the water supply. It's roughly 80% of the drinking water for people in that area. So when the pipeline leaks, which it probably will, I mean, that's what happens when pipelines go through, they leak, it will contaminate the water supply for the people living in that area. The indigenous people, the farmers, that we've actually formed alliances with the farmers in that area as well. But it's not just a death warrant for us, because that particular area supplies 30% of the nation's irrigation water.
Right.
So that's our food source as well.
Also, dozens of people rallied outside the White House on Saturday to oppose President Obama's plans to upgrade the nation's nuclear weaponry. Obama has called for a nuke-free world, but has reportedly put the United States on target to spend as much as $1 trillion over the next 3 decades to rebuild its nuclear arsenal and facilities. On Sunday, activists held up a full-size inflatable missile while calling for the verified elimination of all nuclear stockpiles by the year 2030. In policing news, a New York City police officer has been indicted for assault after he was caught on video stomping on the head of an unarmed African American who was pinned to the ground and pleading for help. On Tuesday, Officer Joel Edward was arraigned on charges that could carry up to a year in jail. Cell phone video shows Edward and another officer pinning Jamil Cuffey to the ground while he pleads, "Help me." Police accuse Cuffey of drinking on the sidewalk and trying to throw away a joint. His case was later dismissed. The family of a teenage girl shot dead by Denver police last week have demanded a federal investigation into the killing. Police say Jesse Hernandez, who was 17 years old, drove a stolen car toward an officer. The shooting marked at least the fourth time in 7 months Denver police have fired at a moving vehicle, despite a policy urging officers to try to move out of the way instead of shooting. And the family of slain New York City teenager Ramarley Graham will receive $3.9 million to settle a lawsuit over his fatal shooting 3 years ago today. Graham, an 18-year-old African-American, was unarmed when a police officer, Richard Haste, shot him dead inside his own home. The settlement comes as federal prosecutors continue a probe of possible civil rights violations in the case. And those are our headlines. When we come back, can people's power shape electric power in the DMV? We'll be right back.
And that was You Know What's Up by Donnell Jones on Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition on 89.3. I'm Esther Varum.
And I'm Lucy Murphy.
Well, the Coalition Power DC is urging DC residents and other concerned citizens of the DMV to write the DC Public Service Commission by next Friday, February 13th, which is the commission's deadline, I believe, for public comment on the merger of Exelon and Pepco. If this merger goes through, D.C.'s electric bills will be higher and service will be even less reliable than under Pepco, say local activists. And, of course, partnering with a nuclear giant runs against the grain of the district's green energy emphasis and will put control of the city's energy in a company that is not even based here. With us in the studio to discuss this is Rob Robinson, and convener of the Grid 2.0 Working Group, established with solar entrepreneur Jigar Shah, to intervene in Pepco's distribution rate case announced after the derecho storm in 2012. Robinson is also VP for Solar Outreach for DC Sun. Along with Councilmember Anita Bonds, Rob Robinson was an original staff member of Marion Barry's first mayoral campaign and worked in the mayor's office for many years. He managed successful Council of D.C. campaigns and worked in the Council of the District of Columbia. Welcome to On the Ground, Rob.
Thank you, Esther, and welcome, WPFW.
Now, joining us on the line is Michael Marriott, president of the Nuclear Information and Research Service. And Mr. Marriott has testified in the United States Senate and before the U.S. House of Representatives on radioactive waste, transportation, radioactive metals, recycling, the future of nuclear power industry, one-step reactor licensing, and other issues. He has also spoken before parliamentary bodies in Bulgaria and Hungary and appeared at the conferences and media events in Greece, Ukraine, Slovakia, Germany, and elsewhere. He's a graduate of Antioch College. Is Mike on the line?
Good morning.
Oh, welcome. And joining us briefly from Columbus, Ohio, where he's attending a Senate hearing, is Robert Kelter, senior attorney for the Environmental Law and Policy Center, where he leads energy efficiency, legal, and regulatory policy initiatives in the Midwest and before Congress. He's an experienced energy and public utilities regulatory attorney who served as the general counsel of the Illinois Citizens Utility Board, handling a wide array of electricity and natural gas rate and rulemaking cases and issues. Before then, he worked at Environmental Action and here in D.C. at the Office of the People's Council. Rob is chair of the board of the Illinois Environmental Council. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
Well, let's start with Rob, because I know you have to return to the Senate hearing, and you have experience with both with Exelon in Illinois, and you lived here in D.C. and worked in the Office of the People's Council, which is an advocate for the city's electricity customers. So what could we be in for as potential customers of Exelon? You know, we know that rates have been raised like four times since they took over BG&E in Baltimore. Is that a likely scenario here?
Well, I think it's a likely scenario in that all utilities want to raise rates. That's how they raise their profits. I think it's important to note that Exelon owns a lot of nuclear power plants, and those power plants allow them to make unregulated profits, and a big part of the drive of their business is trying to sell more power from those nuclear plants. That's their bread and butter. That's where they make the bulk of their profit.
Okay. So we know about Baltimore, but can you share with us more about what Exelon has done in other markets?
Well, in other markets, part of how Exelon operates depends on the people running the utilities at the local level. And if they allow local control in the district, I think ratepayers are going to be much better off. The problem is, as I said a moment ago, the corporation's bottom line is really driven by selling more electricity. So, for instance, and by selling more nuclear power from those nuclear power plants. That's really their profit center. So when it comes to renewable energy, for instance, they claim that they have responsible policies on renewable energy, but they oppose the production tax credit that gives renewable energy a fighting chance in the market. So I think you've got to be really careful in terms of what they say and what they actually do.
You know, since we're talking about nuclear energy, I want to bring in Michael, you know, because of your specialty in nuclear energy. You know, how much of a factor is the fact that Exelon owns these aging nuclear plants and is facing financial challenges? How much is this a factor in what how they operate and what they might do here?
Well, it's a huge factor. Exxon is the nation's largest nuclear utility. They own more reactors than anybody else. And six of them, at least, Exxon itself has identified are in big trouble economically, because they have not been able to sell power at a low enough rate, because they're old, require a lot of maintenance. So their electricity is more expensive than the competition, and they're not able to sell much power. So Exelon has had to, at a corporate level, cut dividends. And they've made clear to both Wall Street and to the Illinois legislature that one of their primary reasons for wanting to take over Pepco is to get the Pepco revenue stream to make up for the losses from these reactors that have been losing money, so that they can resume their dividend payments to their shareholders. So basically, you know, they want to take Pepco's ratepayers' money and use it to make up the losses that are occurring at all these reactors. Now, they're also looking for a bailout from the Illinois legislature to the tune of about $580 million per year to also try to prop up these reactors. Otherwise, they're going to have to close them.
Right. Okay, before you have to go, Rob, I wanted to ask you about this conventional wisdom that's circulating in this area that this is a done deal. And, you know, can a people's movement like Power DC succeed to stop this merger at this point?
Oh, absolutely. I've been traveling through the Advisory Neighborhood Commission meetings. I've been to, I think, 30 or 32 commission meetings, many of them more than once. We have about 15, 16, 17 resolutions in opposition to the merger. We actually haven't seen a single Advisory Neighborhood Commission meeting or civic or citizens association or community organization that believes that this deal is in their best interest. They're not lining up for it.
You know, and I, this is my fault. I have to say either Rob Robinson or Rob Kelter, because Robert Kelter has to leave to go back into the hearing, and we're going to have a chance to get into more of the local aspects of it after our next break. But before you go, Rob Kelter in Columbus, Ohio right now, you know, you've worked in People's Council here, you do that work in the Midwest now for a variety of states. You know, can a people's movement like Power DC, in your opinion, what kind of leverage, what kind of change can they make at this point?
Well, I think in these merger cases before regulatory commissions like the D.C. Public Service Commission, you really got to try and focus on the facts and what Exelon's track record has been in other states. And these are tough cases to prove that there's going to be harm to customers, but I think the more you focus on those facts, the better off you're going to be. I mean, I know this is an emotional issue in D.C., but in order to win these cases, and it's tough to do that, there aren't a lot of commissions that stand up and say no to these mergers. You've got to demonstrate as much as you can the likelihood that rates are going to go up and there's going to be harm to customers, and also that the environmental policies of Exelon are not going to be good for District of Columbia citizens. So it's a tough road, but I think that, you know, they can win.
And this is Michael. You know, there is a historical precedent here.
Oh, and Michael, we're going to get to that historical precedent in a few minutes. But I need to say goodbye to Robert Kelter, a senior attorney for the Environmental Law and Policy Center, who spoke to us from Columbus, Ohio this morning. Thank you, Rob, for taking time out of your hearing this morning to get on the line with us.
Thanks a lot for having me on. I have a soft place in my heart for the District of Columbia. I love living there, and I wish everybody the best of luck in fighting this battle.
Okay, thank you. Now, we're going to finish our discussion, but before we do, let me remind everyone that this is our our first day of the Winter Fund Drive on the ground, and we're here to raise money for WPFW. None of it goes to me. None of it goes to Lucy. We're volunteers here bringing you the best show that we can every week about activists and activism, and you can support On the Ground by calling 202-588-9739 or pledging right online at www.wpfw.org for this show, the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment for WPFW. This is an unbought, unbossed, unembedded, unencumbered, listener-sponsored radio in the nation's capital. We feel on this show that we're in the tradition of Lou Hill, the founder of Pacifica, who was jailed for being a war resister and understood the need for a radio network that would not be beholden to corporate interests and would not become a corporate media. I don't know about you folks, but I'm glad that we're here. And every time that I see Fox News, every time that I run across some clip from Fox News or hear something from Fox News and realize that people aren't penalized for basically lying to us, that there's no penalty and that you can get advertisers to support you for lying to the public. And there's never any comeuppance for that. You know, they can say all kinds of things, and later it's proved by Media Matters and other watchdog groups that they're lying, that their listeners are the most uninformed. They're more informed than people who don't listen to media at all. That's what they have found. And so I'm so glad that we're here, and I would like, and I know that you're glad we're here too. So 202-588-9739, or pledge right online at WPFW.org. I want to hear from DC, Silver Spring, Hyattsville, College Park, Bowie, Lanham, Landover, Capitol Heights, Upper Marlboro, Baltimore, Columbia. We have a very wide range. I travel in my car a lot every day, and I know I can pick up the station wherever I go. Laurel, Beltsville, Clinton, Arlington, Alexandria, 202-588-9739.
And for the people who just found their phone in the bottom of their bag, that is 202-588-9739.
Right, okay. And we have someone to thank. I am so thankful to Lewis for calling from D.C., making a very generous pledge to get us started. We only have 400 to go now, and we know we can do it. That's only four people making a $10 a month pledge, right? And we'd go over the top. And we know that you appreciate On the Ground and what we bring every day. So anyway, let's get back to the discussion. Michael, you were going to make a point about the precedent for community activists winning.
Well, right. About 20 years ago, the Baltimore Gas and Electric tried to merge with Pepco, and we put together a campaign, and much smaller than the Power DC campaign is, but we pointed out that Baltimore Gas and Electric owned two nuclear power plants out at Calvert Cliffs, Maryland, and the DC Public Service Commission ended up denying that merger based partly on the fact that they didn't want DC ratepayers to be exposed to the risks of and costs of managing the radioactive waste from those plants, of decommissioning those plants, and of possible accident costs associated with those plants. And that was over a utility with two reactors. You know, we're talking about now a utility, I think it has 12 or more reactors, more than 12 even now. And so the associated risks of being involved with Exelon in terms of the expected future costs of nuclear power, you know, including the radioactive waste and the decommissioning, you know, even if there isn't an accident, which is also another threat, those costs are something that the D.C. Public Service Commission has to take into account as well. And they've done it before and came out on the people's side. So there is a precedent for this.
Okay. And Rob Robinson, still with us in the studio here, you were going to make a point earlier about, you know, what you've experienced going to ANC meetings, talking to people about, you know, the people's how they feel about this and basically their willingness to fight back.
Yes, the reason we're taking this to the public is because there is an almost total dearth of information in the public mind about what this deal is all about. So I think one of the things that we have to do is break some of this down for them. But before we go too far, I'd like to emphasize that the actual deadline for making comments with the Public Service Commission that will determine whether or not the merger can be approved because it's in the public interest. And that deadline is March the 26th. I'd also like to let people know how they can write to the Public Service Commission. The online comment address is psc-commissionsecretary@dc.gov. Again, that's psc-commissionsecretary@dc.gov. We need you to get your comments in opposition to this as soon as possible. But again, the deadline is March the 26th. I'd like to basically run over some of the terms of the deal because I think, again, most people don't know what this is all about. Pepco announced almost a year ago that they were going to do this deal. It is a takeover. It's not a merger. It is a complete acquisition of Pepco and all Pepco assets. The deal is for $6.8 billion. What most people don't understand, that the reason Pepco accepted that deal was because the $6.8 billion includes a premium. In other words, Exelon was willing to pay more than any other buyer. And that amount is between $1.2 billion and $2.5 billion. That money will go to PHI, Pepco shareholders, and the executives that brought the shareholders the deal. That's why Pepco accepted the deal. They didn't accept the deal because it was going to result in lower costs, because it was going to provide better or more reliable service, or because it was going to create a grid that meets the public needs. So that's the first thing. The second thing is for people to understand what everyone gets. We've already talked about Pepco shareholders and executives getting that $2.5 billion payday. That's pretty significant. But what does Exelon get? Well, they get Pepco shareholders to go away. The second thing that they get is they get all of the assets that Pepco owns and all of the distribution systems in D.C., Maryland, Delaware, and southern New Jersey. The last thing and the most significant thing that they get for their business is they get a cash cow, us, the ratepayers. We're what they get that's going to bring them money. And we pay approximately $40 million in every billing cycle, I believe. That money is all going to be shipped economically out of the district, and it's going to go to Chicago. What do we get? What's in it for the ratepayers? Well, we get a $50 credit, and we become Exelon customers. In other words, we get $50, and we get sold. We don't think that this is a good deal. We don't think the public believes it's a good deal. We do know that there are people that say it's a good deal. We heard in a testimony hearing before the Committee on Business, Consumer, and Regulatory Affairs that groups like the D.C. Chamber of Commerce and the Washington Board of Trade think it's a great idea because Exelon is such a big company. But again, when you look at what's there for us, we know that Pepco and Exelon are proposing a freeze on rates for 3 years. Well, that sounds okay, but you have to think back that they've also said their costs are going to be lower. So if their costs are lower and the rates are being frozen, that means they're going to be spending less for the same amount of profit that they get from us. The other thing is they're not proposing to share any of the money that they save if the merger is approved with the ratepayers. So we think all of this is kind of an okey-doke within an okey-doke within an okey-doke. And the more people look at it, the clearer it is that it's not in the best interest of the public.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition. And we are talking about the proposed, imminent, whatever, we're talking about the proposed merger takeover of Pepco by Exelon, a Chicago-based nuclear giant, and the fact that most of us don't know about this. We don't know what it's all about. We don't know what's happening. And we're talking to activists from the organization Power DC, and they have a great website at powerdc.org where they have all kinds of information about the subject. And they are urging all of us to write the D.C. Public Service Commission, by next week, even though the deadline is not until, the final deadline is not until March. But get those letters in. Let the D.C. Public Service Commission know how you feel about this merger. So we're going to take a break right now and give people a time to call in and support us during the Winter Fund Drive. You can call 202-588-9739 to support this type of news coverage, to support WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. That's the only station that's going to bring you this type of lengthy discussion with community activists, people on the ground trying to fight the power. So 202-588-9739. Let us hear from you. Join Lou from D.C. Don't let Maryland, don't let D.C. beat you out. I want to hear from Clinton. I want to hear from Columbia. I want to hear from Bowie. I want to hear from Baltimore. And, you know, because, you know, as the district goes, you go too. So we're all in this together. There are many Pepco customers out there in those areas too, and we all have to stick together. So we're going to take a break, but 202-588-9739. And welcome back to Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the on-the-ground edition. I'm Esther Averam.
And I'm Lucy Murphy.
Well, as we said at the top of the show, you may not know about it, but there's a planned multi-billion dollar takeover of Pepco, merger with Pepco, the district's electric power utility, by Exelon, a Chicago-based nuclear energy giant. And you also might not know that the conventional wisdom is that this is all but a done deal. But we're speaking this morning with activists with PowerDC, PowerDC.org, who say, you know, not so fast, that people's power can mean something, that it means something here in the district, that we don't have to be passive consumers and just kind of accept whatever's happening. I'm speaking to Rob Robinson, local activist with DC Sun and the 2.0 grid organization.
Right.
And I'm also speaking with Michael Marriott with the NERS, the Nuclear
Research
Service. Yes, thank you. The Nuclear Information Research Service, and who are involved in the coalition and very active around this issue. So I wanted to continue our discussion. And on your website, powerdc.org, the coalition says that it's in its declaration that the proposed Pepco Exelon merger threatens DC residents and local businesses with higher energy bills and lower reliability. Tell me about the lower reliability part. We talked a little bit about prices in the first part of the show, but when you say lower reliability, Michael, and then Rob, what do you mean?
Well, Esther, the information on what Exelon is planning to do if the merger is approved is found in the documents before the Public Service Commission. The witness that they had that dealt with reliability is a witness, Alden, and in his testimony he states that for the period 2018 through 2020, the average duration of outages will be 107 minutes. The Public Service Commission has established statutorily a figure for that same period of 81 minutes. So Exelon and Pepco are stating publicly that they will not be able to meet the reliability index for how long the power is out when it goes out on average. Now, we've heard Pepco and Exelon say any number of things about how that means that they're really going to be more reliable when the outages are going to continue longer than the standards the Public Service Commission has set. But I think anybody that can hear me understands that the level for reliability for the duration of outages has been established at 81 minutes, and Exelon says 107 minutes, that's not going to be more reliable. It's going to be less reliable.
Okay. Michael, did you want to add?
No, but I did want to mention Exelon's hostility to renewable energy, if we could.
Yes, yes. That's a good segue.
You know, Pepco has been, for a big corporate utility, fairly accommodating to rooftop solar in the district. They are not trying to fight it at all. Exelon, on the other hand, is the only company ever to be kicked out of the American Wind Energy Association. It had joined. It does have a little bit of wind power, but it got kicked out for lobbying against wind power. In Illinois and elsewhere, it lobbies against solar power. So we would go, if this merger were approved, the district would go from a utility which supports renewable energy, supports solar power, and supports the city's goal of becoming the country's most sustainable city, to a utility that is outright hostile to that goal. The two just are not compatible. We cannot have the city's stated goal of becoming a sustainable city and Exelon at the same time. It's not going to work.
Okay, 202-588-9739. I'm not hearing any phones ringing, Lucy, and we definitely need to let them know that we have about 15 minutes left, and we definitely going to make our, we want to make our goal. So 202-588-9739 is the number to call. And a reminder that we do have some thank you gifts for this hour only. We have Gasland 2, the amazing documentary by the Academy Award-winning filmmaker Josh Fox. And we also have the Disruption movie about climate change that we played a lot leading up to the People's Climate March last year. You can have it on DVD formed. And, you know, just call 202-588-9739. We're looking for sustaining members. Just $10 a month. We'll get you both of those items. And but we really know that we want people to pledge for the programming and the value that we try to bring to you in terms of activism locally, nationally, and internationally every week. So 202-588-9739. Now, another point that I noticed on the Power DC website is the fact that Exelon would move decision-making for the district's grid from here in D.C. to this powerful corporation's headquarters in Chicago. And what kind of difference does that make in terms of in your opinion, Rob?
Well, it means that the decisions, the policies on how Pepco operates are going to be made in Chicago. The budget is going to be set in Chicago. The key hiring and firing decisions are going to be made in Chicago. The fact that there's still going to be something called Pepco that's a, quote, Exelon company does not mean that Pepco is going to run that company independently. The CEO of Pepco announced when he announced the proposed sale that they would make up some of the cost of this by cutting jobs. So anyone that believes that because a couple of Pepco officials will remain in place, and that's going to happen for 2 years, according to Exelon, does not mean that the company will not change when it's run by Exelon out of Chicago. It doesn't.
Did you want to add to that, Michael?
No, but I did want to point out, since we were talking about Chicago, Chicago's most prominent citizen, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, people in D.C. may remember him as Obama's top aide for the first couple years, yesterday held a press conference with Exelon opponents in Chicago against what Exelon is trying to do in Illinois. I mentioned earlier that Exelon has several uneconomic nuclear reactors in Illinois, and they're looking for a ratepayer bailout. Yesterday there was a conference announcing a formation of a new clean energy coalition in Illinois, composed of environmental groups, the mayor of Chicago, some labor unions, and consumer and ratepayer groups, to work against Exelon and support clean energy. It sort of wraps up there in both the Chicago and renewable energy issues. They're trying to stop Exelon's constant attempts at bailouts, at rate increases. This is Exelon's model. And even in Illinois, where Exelon, you know, is by far the largest utility, if you live in Chicago, it's the only utility you can buy power from. Even there, where they're so powerful, the people are now lining up against them.
Right.
And, you know, we just can't expect anything different here.
Well, the other thing, and you were getting ready to say something, Rob.
I was just going to say that one of the things that did happen in Illinois was Exelon was able to get the state legislature, after Exelon spent a whole bunch of money, to approve the bill that Michael is talking about that said that people in Illinois would spend more money for the electricity from the nuclear power plants in Illinois. And we already know what happens when a big company dumps a lot of money into local politics, either to elect offices or to set policies. Exelon is about 10 times bigger than Pepco, so imagine what that's going to mean about how we set policy here in D.C.
Right. You know, speaking of Pepco and D.C., you know, we have been pretty critical of Pepco's performance. So a lot of people listening to us might think, well, could this be worse than Pepco in terms of reliability? Can you talk about the types of reliability issues we've had here locally compared to what we could expect under Exelon?
Well, sure. I mean, Pepco became, after it divested itself of its power generating in 1999, a holding company. And then they bought a couple of other utilities, Connective and Atlantic City Power and Light. Between 2001 and 2013, Pepco's employment, the number of people it employed system-wide, went from about 2,500 down to 1,400. Today, there are 103 people in D.C. that are employed by Pepco that are actually D.C. residents. We also know that by 2009, the reliability of our grid had dropped to the bottom quartile for reliability in the rankings that compare D.C. with all other municipalities in the United States of America. We know that for low-income families that had been twice as likely to have their power disconnected because they couldn't afford to pay their bills in 2001, it's now three times or more likely to pay their to be disconnected because of their failures to pay. And all this goes down to the fact that the rate increases D.C. residents and ratepayers have seen since 2001 has grown by 61% when compared to a 38% cost of living increase for the same period. That's not supportable.
All right. You know, I wanted to also get back to something we were talking about earlier, Michael. We were talking about nuclear power and, you know, its relationship to Exelon or Exelon's relationship to nuclear power. And I think I had the question about, you know, whether this means that, you know, more energy in the district would come from nuclear sources, or, you know, would we be less able to use renewable sources of energy? I think that you addressed the second part earlier, but would that mean that because nuclear is their baby, basically, that more of our energy would come from nuclear power?
I don't know for a fact that it would. Pepco already buys some nuclear power from a utility in Ohio. You know, there's certainly that possibility, but I think what is more significant is that Pepco ratepayers would have much more financial risk associated with nuclear power. In other words, when you get Exelon, you get their fleet of nuclear reactors, and you get all of the economic problems associated with that fleet that is causing Exelon to want to take Pepco over in the first place. You've got aging reactors that cost a lot of money to maintain. You've got radioactive waste piling up at these reactor sites across at all of Exelon's reactor sites in Illinois and New Jersey and New York and everywhere else they have reactors. You've got enormous decommissioning costs coming up when these reactors are retired. Some of them are going to retire soon because they're uneconomic. So it's really the financial risk that the D.C. Public Service Commission has to take into account when they think about this merger and the risk that they would be exposing ratepayers to.
That's true, and I just wanted to add that that also includes Exelon's financing costs for the $6.8 billion deal that includes the $2.5 billion premium. That's going to have to be financed. And while everyone will say, but that those costs can't be passed on to the ratepayers, where do we think that those rates are going to come from?
And I should just mention, people want to write to the Public Service Commission, and we certainly encourage it and hope they will. It's very easy to do from the PowerDC website, powerdc.org. Just click the button that says Take Action, and you'll be able to send a letter to the Public Service Commission.
You know, while we're still on the subject of nuclear power, there's another note that I saw, like, just doing, you know, research on your website, and it talked about security. And when people talk about nuclear power plants, you know, we don't have one like right here, but you know, there's certainly nuclear in this overall region. And when you talk about, you know, security, is it related to nuclear power, or do you think that this merger poses some other type of security issue? Michael.
Well, I'm not sure, since I didn't do the PowerDC website, I'm not sure what context they're using security in, whether it's security of electricity supply or national security, what you're talking about.
Right, okay. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be like vague, but I just saw that and it kind of jumped out at me. But I want to take this time to thank some more listeners. I want to thank Hillary in D.C., for her generous pledge. And Hillary says, hi, Lucy.
Hi, Hillary.
And I want to thank Carl from Marriottsville, Maryland. Marriottsville is in the house. And I don't know if they're new listeners, but I want to give them the bell anyway, right? So we are very close to making our goal. So if you've been just enjoying the conversation and you haven't gotten to the phone, now is your time. We have about less than 5 minutes left. Almost 3 minutes left, and we want to make our goal, and we want to let Katia and let Tiffany know that we are doing our part and that you value the information and perspectives that we provide every week here on the ground. So go to your phone or get online, and you can dial 202-588-9739 or go to the website wpfw.org. Also, Lucy, did you want to say something?
No, just you know, get that phone and 202-588-9739.
All right, or WPFW.org. And if you go to the website, you go to the pull down the menu where it says donate, and you go to the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment, and that way we would get credit for your support. 202-588-9739. Now, how about the policy objectives of, well, Exelon's corporate interests compared to the policy objectives of the District of Columbia? Now, I know I ride down 16th Street and I see a sign that says how we are like pretty good in terms of renewable energy. You know, there's a lot of solar people. There's a lot of, you know, people really trying to use renewable energy here. So how does this, you know, obviously this merger, yes, would conflict with that?
Well, it's important that everybody understand what is and isn't at issue. We know that Exelon's business model is to sell power. The fact is they do own some solar and they do own a lot of wind power. That's not what they're concerned about. There's no question about whether or not they can own renewables. The issue for us in D.C. is that we have a lot of flat roofs, so we're a great place to make solar electric. That happens by something called net metering, where you can put a solar panel on your roof and you can get the benefit of that solar electric production for your load. You earn all the savings. That's called net metering. What Exelon is corporately against are net metering policies, and they fought them all over the U.S., and that's what we don't want. We're committed to letting people save that money. D.C. Sun is trying to work with DCSEU, the D.C. Department of the Environment, and the Department of Housing and Community Development to create low-income programs to take people out of a cycle of energy dependency.
Okay.
We don't need somebody fighting that.
All right. And so that's what we're all about today, giving you the information you need. But that will have to do it for us today. We still want you to call in at 202-588-9739. I want to thank our guest, Robert Kelter, Senior Attorney for the Environmental Law and Policy Center, Rob Robinson of the Grid 2.0 Working Group and DC Sun, and Michael Marriott, President of the Nuclear Information and Research Service. Thanks to our engineer, Mike Nasella, and thank you so much for listening and calling in and continuing to call in. 202-588-9739. Remember to write the DC Public Service Commission now. Don't wait. You can reach the show at onthegroundshow.org, where you can now listen to all of our shows and past shows. Please like our Facebook and Twitter pages at On the Ground Show. Now stay tuned for the news, followed by Krista Property on the Thursday edition of Don't Forget the Blues. Raise your voice. We continue our winter fun drive next week, so stand by on the ground. You can keep calling 202-588-9739. I know we'll go over our goal. I can hear somewhere those phones ringing, and it will still count toward our goal to the top of the hour. Make sure Katia and Tiffany know how much you value and support On the Ground and wanted to remain around. Peace.